Emotional Bites, downloading the why behind human behavior. Today we're exploring attribution theory.
Okay.
The fascinating study of how we try to explain the reasons behind our actions and the actions of others.
It's like we're all trying to figure out the secret code of human behavior,
right?
But sometimes we forget there's even a code to crack.
Exactly. We just assume we know why someone is doing something.
Right.
But what if we're totally wrong?
Yeah.
So how do we avoid jumping to conclusions? Is there a way to decode this secret code of behavior?
Well, the first step is understanding the two basic types of attributions, internal and external.
Okay.
Internal attributions are when we blame someone's personality or character for their behavior.
Right.
Like if someone cuts you off in traffic, you might think, what a jerk.
Ah, yes, the classic road rage attribution.
Exactly. But an external attribution would be looking for reasons outside the person. Maybe they're rushing to the hospital or they didn't see you. It's about considering the situation, not just the person.
So it's like looking beyond the surface, trying to see the invisible forces that might be at play.
And it's not always easy.
Right.
We have these built-in biases that can make us jump to conclusions.
Biases like those mental shortcuts our brains take.
Exactly. And one of the biggest ones is the fundamental attribution error.
Okay.
This is our tendency to overestimate the role of personality and underestimate the power of the situation when explaining other people's behavior.
So we're more likely to blame the person than the situation. Kind of like when your friend is late and you assume they're just flaky, rather than considering they might have hit traffic or had a last minute emergency.
That's a great example. And here's the interesting part. Even when we know someone is having a bad day, we still tend to blame their personality when explaining their behavior. It's like we can't help but focus on the person in front of us.
It's like the situation becomes invisible and all we see is the person and their actions.
Yeah.
But we've all been in situations where we've acted out of character because of external factors.
Absolutely. And that brings us to another interesting bias called the actor-observer bias.
Okay.
This is where we flip the script. When we do something wrong, we're more likely to blame the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But when someone else does the same thing, we blame their personality.
So it's like that classic excuse, I was late because of traffic. But when someone else is late, it's because they're irresponsible.
Right.
We're much more forgiving of ourselves.
It's a classic double standard. But understanding these biases is important because it helps us see how our judgments can be skewed.
It's like realizing our mental software isn't always accurate.
Exactly. It needs a few updates. But here's another layer to consider.
Okay.
Not all attributions are created equal. Some are stable, meaning we see them as consistent and unchanging, like someone's personality traits.
Yeah.
Others are unstable, meaning they're temporary and can change, like someone having a bad day.
So if I think someone is inherently lazy, that's a stable attribution.
Yes.
But if I think they're just tired today, that's unstable.
Right. And this ties into another dimension, controllability.
Okay.
Did the person have control over their behavior?
Hmm.
For instance, if someone fails a test because they didn't study, that's more controllable than if they failed because they got sick.
So we're judging not just why someone did something, but also how much control they had over it.
And these judgments, stable versus unstable, controllable versus uncontrollable,
yeah,
can influence our emotional reactions and even our expectations for the future.
This is reminding me of a story I read about a guy who lost his job.
Okay.
Some people blamed his lack of effort, while others recognized that the company was downsizing and he was a victim of circumstance.
Right.
Totally different attributions leading to completely different reactions.
That's a perfect example of how these attributions shape our perceptions and responses. It's not just about explaining behavior. It's about understanding the whole context.
So we've got internal and external attributions, stable and unstable, controllable and uncontrollable. Mm-hmm. It's like a matrix of human behavior.
It's a lot to take in, I know.
Yeah.
But early psychologists like Fritz Haider recognized how crucial this process of attribution is to how we understand the world around us. He called it naive psychology. The idea that we're all trying to make sense of things, even if we're not always aware of it.
Haider. Wasn't he the one who said we're all like amateur scientists trying to figure out the cause and effect of human behavior?
That's the one. He was really a pioneer in this field, laying the groundwork for later researchers to develop more complex models of attribution.
Okay, so We've got Heider and his naive psychology as our foundation. Where do we go from here? Who else took a crack at this code of human behavior?
Well, one researcher who really expanded on Heider's ideas was Harold Kelly.
Okay.
He developed something called the covariation model.
Okay.
Basically, he suggested that we look for patterns when making attributions, like those scientists Heider talked about.
So it's not just a random guess about why someone did something.
Yeah.
We're actually looking for clues.
Exactly. Kelly said we consider three main things: consistency, distinctiveness, and consensus.
Okay, break those down for me.
Okay.
What is consistency in this context?
Consistency is all about whether the person always behaves this way in this particular situation.
No.
Let's say your friend is always late for your weekly coffee date.
Okay.
That's high consistency.
So if it's a one-time thing, maybe I give them a pass.
Right.
But if it's a pattern,
yeah,
then I might start thinking it's about them, not the situation.
Exactly. Now, distinctiveness is about whether this behavior is unique to this specific situation or if they act this way in other situations as well.
Okay.
If your friend is late for everything, work, appointments, social events,
yeah,
that's low distinctiveness.
So maybe they're just a late person in general.
Right.
Their lateness isn't about me or our coffee date. It's just them.
Right. But if they're usually on time for everything else,
okay,
then their lateness for your coffee date might be more about the situation or your relationship. Maybe they're subconsciously avoiding you.
Ouch. Okay, so we've got consistency and distinctiveness. Mm. What about this consensus thing?
Consensus asks whether other people behave the same way in this situation. For example, if everyone is late to a meeting because of a huge traffic jam.
Okay.
That's high consensus.
Yeah.
It's not about any one person.
Right.
It's about the situation.
But if everyone else arrived on time and my friend is the only one late,
right,
that tells me it's probably something specific to them, not the traffic.
You got it. So Kelly's model suggests we weigh these three factors, consistency, distinctiveness, and consensus,
yeah,
to try and figure out the most likely cause of someone's behavior. It's about trying to understand the why behind the what. And another psychologist who delved into this was Bernard Wiener.
Okay.
He focused on how our attributions shape not only our understanding of events, but also our emotions and future expectations.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting.
Yeah.
Emotions are such a powerful force in our lives. So how do our attributions tie into how we feel?
Well, think about it this way.
Okay.
If you attribute your friend's lateness to traffic, you're likely to feel more understanding.
Yeah.
But if you attribute it to the lack of respect for your time, you're more likely to feel angry or resentful.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Our emotions are directly tied to how we explain the event. It's not just the event itself.
Yeah.
But the meaning we give it.
Precisely. And this is where Wiener's theory gets really interesting.
Oh.
He suggested that our attributions also influence our expectations for the future.
Okay, I can see that. If I attribute my friend's lateness to a stable cause, like their personality, I'm probably going to expect them to be late again in the future.
Mm-hmm.
But if I blame it on an unstable cause like traffic,
yeah,
I might be more hopeful that they'll be on time next time.
Exactly. So these attributions we make have ripple effects. They shape how we feel and how we act going forward.
I never realized how much power our explanations have.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're constantly creating these little stories in our heads to make sense of the world.
Mm.
And those stories have real consequences.
That's a great way to put it. And it's important to remember that these stories, these attributions, aren't always accurate. We have those biases we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And sometimes our emotions can cloud our judgment.
Is there a way to avoid these pitfalls and make more accurate judgments about why people do the things they do?
Just knowing about these biases can help us catch ourselves when we're jumping to conclusions.
Right.
And there are strategies we can use to challenge our initial attributions and seek out more balanced explanations. One of the simplest things you can do is just pause before you judge. When you see someone doing something that triggers a reaction in you, take a breath and ask yourself, what are all the possible explanations for this behavior?
So it's like hitting the brakes on that initial judgment, forcing ourselves to consider other possibilities.
Right. Instead of assuming the worst, try to brainstorm a few different reasons why someone might be acting that way.
Okay.
Could it be stress? Could they be having a bad day? Are they just clueless?
I like that. Sometimes that's the most generous explanation.
Right.
And maybe even the most accurate.
And sometimes it's helpful to put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah.
Remember a time when you acted out of character or made a mistake?
Mm-hmm.
What were the circumstances? How are you feeling? What factors might have contributed to your behavior?
That's a good point. We're often much more forgiving of our own shortcomings.
Right.
But we hold others to a different standard.
It's that actor-observer bias creeping in again. But actively trying to see things from the other person's perspective can help us develop more empathy and understanding.
And maybe even avoid some unnecessary conflict. It's like that saying, be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a hard battle. We just don't always see those battles.
Exactly. We tend to focus on the behavior, the words, the actions,
Right.
but we often miss the invisible forces that might be driving them.
So we've got pausing before judging,
yeah,
brainstorming alternative explanations, and putting ourselves in their shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Any other tips for becoming better attribution detectives?
Well, another strategy is to challenge your assumptions, especially those negative assumptions that can lead to resentment and conflict in relationships.
Okay.
Let's say your partner forgets your anniversary.
Ouch. Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Been there, done that.
It's easy to jump to the conclusion that they don't care or that the relationship is doomed.
But you're saying there's a different way to approach it?
Instead of assuming the worst, try to challenge that initial assumption.
Mm-hmm.
Ask yourself, is there any other possible explanation? Maybe they're incredibly stressed at work.
Right.
Maybe they're dealing with a family issue. Maybe they just have a terrible memory.
Okay, so it's not about making excuses for them, but about looking for a more balanced explanation
mm-hmm.
that takes the whole context into account.
Exactly. It's about giving them the benefit of the doubt, at least until you have more information.
Yeah.
And sometimes simply asking them about it in a calm and non-accusatory way can clear up the misunderstanding in an instant.
It's like we're all walking around with these invisible narratives in our heads.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes those narratives clash.
Yeah.
But instead of letting them create conflict, we can use attribution theory as a tool for understanding, empathy, and connection.
That's a great way to put it. It's about recognizing that everyone has their own story, their own set of motivations, their own unique way of seeing the world.
This whole deep dive into attribution theory has been eye-opening. I feel like I have a new lens for understanding not only my own behavior,
yeah,
but also the behavior of everyone around me.
And that's the beauty of it. It's a tool that you can use in every aspect of your life, from your personal relationships to your understanding of current events and social issues.
It's like we've unlocked a secret code of human behavior. But instead of using it to judge and label,
right,
we can use it to connect, empathize, and build stronger relationships.
And stay curious about the invisible stories we tell ourselves about why people do the things they do. Because sometimes the most obvious explanation isn't the most accurate one.